Talent is the cornerstone to audit quality. Without well-trained talent, there is no audit quality.
Hey gang, welcome back. This is Future Proof. I am Bill Sheridan. Glad you're here. Glad to be here. Episode number 192. This is, I guess, the countdown to 200 has officially begun. Wow. I mean, that's a big number. I'm not sure I really thought we'd make it this far. But that's a big number in the podcast world, 200. Here's another big number for you. There are 193 countries on Earth, and our little podcast here has been downloaded in 123 of them. That is incredible to me. And I'm grateful to everyone out there who subscribes and tunes in and listens each week. Makes me think maybe we're doing something right here. I don't know. All I know is I'm having a ball. So let's keep it rolling, shall we? Another great show this week. We're going to get to it here in just a second. First, though, a reminder that this week's show, every week's show, in fact, is made possible by our preferred providers. And we actually like to think of these folks as partners. These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners, they do way more than that too, right? They're doing things that we believe can help you all become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And help is really the key word here. They truly, truly do want to help. So please reach out to them, find out more about what they can do and how they can help you, because they can, as we like to say here. Yes, they can. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. So today's show, like I said, this is a good one. My guest this week is Christina Ho. Now, Christina is a member of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. That's the PCAOB to you and me. And she reached out to us, actually, about the possibility of having a conversation about the future of audit, but from a couple of different, really completely different angles. She wanted to talk about what she calls the two most significant audit quality challenges that we face today. And those are technology and talent. Technology, not much of a surprise there, right? Advancing new technologies are having a huge impact on almost everything, everywhere these days, right? And although, actually, Christina has some unique insights into that area, but it was the talent angle that really got my attention. Bear with me here. In an article from Bloomberg's Adrian Wooldridge, Adrian Wooldridge, he wrote this for Bloomberg recently. He wrote, quote, "The obvious result of the talent shortage in accounting is an erosion in the quality of audits. Public companies are finding it harder to get accountants to audit their books, and when they do find them, must often work them harder. Important checks are skipped, and errors or dodges go unnoticed. If companies are late filing, then they risk running afoul of the SEC. If they include errors, then they risk fines and adverse market reaction. Even small errors can lead to a plunge in stock prices." And he wrote this in addition. He says, quote, "The chances that U.S. regulators will catch errors, or worse, are arguably also being reduced by the shortage of accountants. The SEC faces an attrition rate of more than 6% with a growing proportion of the work done by temps. Poorer oversight increases the likelihood of another Enron out there," end quote. And that's a scary thought indeed. That's an article, by the way, that's titled "The Accounting Shortage Threatens Capitalism's Future," a Bloomberg article that appeared on the Washington Post website. And all of that leads me to thinking about, you know, possible solutions, if there are any out there, to our profession's pipeline challenges. Now, debates are raging throughout the profession about potential solutions, mostly dealing with things like the 150-hour requirement, how to get relevant real-world experience. What I think a lot of people are missing in these debates is the responsibility that individual CPAs have in filling our pipeline. An example, let me ask you a question. When someone asks you why you chose accounting as a career, what do you say? It seems to me that too many of us don't have an answer, right? We've long forgotten what first excited us about this profession, namely the game-changing differences that a trusted CPA can make for a business or client, or in the financial lives of Americans everywhere. We are the backbone of our nation's financial future. And too frequently, that purpose, that passion, that why seems to have gotten lost. And we need to rediscover it, right? We need to rediscover it and share it over and over again. We need to change the narrative that surrounds our profession. Each of us, I think, must shoulder some of the responsibility of turning a new generation of CPAs onto accounting. Here's a great example of what that might look like in action. The MACPA CEO, Rebecca Brown, now Rebecca Olson, she just got married, same person, new name, but Rebecca recently shared a conversation she had with an intern at a local firm who explained why he decided to go into accounting. His story, and here's what he said. He said he loves solving complex problems for his clients so that his clients, in turn, can solve complex problems for their communities. He looks at his firm's clients and sees, for example, a not-for-profit organization that received a grant because of the work that he did on their behalf. And he sees that client take that grant and use it to improve the lives of others. And he sees people leading better lives because of the work that he does. I mean, how's that for an answer? That's amazing stuff. That's gold right there, right? And if students heard more of these types of stories, I think our pipeline would start to fill in a hurry. And so that's what I mean when I say that each of us, I think, has some individual responsibility in the game here in helping our profession solve this pipeline issue. And my guest this week assures me that she is willing and ready to do her part. Again, she is PCAOB member Christina Ho, and her passion is the future of the profession, in particular, exciting and educating future generations of CPAs in an effort to keep our profession strong. So Christina and I sat down recently and talked about the impact that new technologies and talent issues are having on the future of the audit function, and what the PCAOB is thinking about in terms of our talent pipeline, and you know what the audit function might look like in the future, and how, by the way, how that changes the way CPAs should be thinking about their own skills and what they need to do to remain relevant going forward. So great talk this week, just a great talk about some of our top challenges with one of our profession's top regulators. Here is my conversation with Christina Ho. Well, Christina, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate your time. And I wanted to start a little bit with your background. You've got just an incredibly diverse background. I think it touches on so many different aspects of our profession. And I thought our members might be interested in hearing a little bit about that. So walk me through that background a bit, that, you know, the path you've kind of taken through the profession to this point.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me here. I do want to give my standard disclaimer first, which is the views that express here are my own and do not necessarily reflect the views of other PCAOB board members or staff.
Sure.
And yes, I have had a diverse career in both the public and private sectors. I started out as an auditor in 1993 and became a CPA licensed in Maryland in 1995. Then I got into the IT field at a Fortune 500 company a few years later. Eventually, I decided to do something that would allow me to use both my auditing and technology experience and became an IT auditor first internally and then returned to the public accounting profession in 2004. In 2009, I was appointed as a career senior executive at Treasury and started my career as a civil servant. There, I oversaw large mission critical operations and systems, as well as implemented major government reforms, including the Data Act, which was the first federal open data law that required federal agencies to standardize and publish all its spending data. That was when I developed a passion to leverage data and technology for public good. The start of my passion as a data nerd. After I successfully implemented the law, I left Treasury in 2017. Then I spent a couple years in higher ed on the administration side and data science consulting before I was appointed to the board in November 2021.
That's quite a journey. And as I said, we always like to say that our profession is so diverse, and there's so many different pathways that people can take through it. And you've kind of experimented with a little bit of all of them there. I guess my next question is I'm always interested in knowing why accounting. I mean, what drew you to the profession in the first place?
I was one of those people who took accounting in high school as an extracurricular activity. Uh-huh. I know, what a nerd. at the time, it was more for practical reasons, thinking that it would be helpful for my future career. So naturally, I picked accounting as my major when I went to college. I attempted to change my major toward the end of my first year. I wanted to study social work instead, but my father didn't think it was a good idea and convinced me not to change my major. Looking back, I felt that I was looking for a greater purpose. And I didn't think that at the time accounting would give that to me. Even at that time, I knew that something was haunting me. And as you can see throughout my career journey, I was searching for something bigger. Mm-hmm. I am happy, though, to say that I ended up finding my purpose. And I couldn't have been successful in fulfilling that purpose without my accounting degree and CPA license.
Well, that's the beauty of the profession, I think, really, is that whatever your purpose is, you can kind of still pursue that, because there's always an accounting or finance function tied to but almost anything, right? And so whatever it is that really kind of jazzes you, even you don't have to, you know, narrow your focus at all in this profession. And I think that's one of the great things about it. So I do want to narrow this conversation a little bit and talk about audit and the future of audit. And you and I had talked briefly a couple of months ago about some of the things that are going on in that area. And certainly a lot of great minds in our profession are spending a lot of time kind of rethinking what that future of audit looks like. And you're one of them. You said recently that the two most significant audit quality challenges that we face today are technology and talent. So I want to talk about both of those here a little bit. Tell me what you mean, first of all, with technology. What new technologies are having the greatest impact on the profession, and what kind of impact are they having on the board itself and the work that you're doing there at the PCAOB?
Yeah, I think that I would like to use the framework Professor Larry Gordon, who is an accounting faculty member at the University of Maryland, College Park, mm-hmm. wrote about in his paper titled "The Impact of Accounting on Contemporary, The Impact of Technology on Contemporary Accounting, okay. an ABCD Perspective." It was published in 2018, and there might be more alphabets now, more than ABCD, but it's still relevant and is easy to remember. A is artificial intelligence, AI. B is blockchain. C is cybersecurity. And D is data analytics. All of them are highly relevant in today's environment and will only expand in terms of relevance. I believe that PCOB has made some progress towards technology advancements, but there's continued opportunity for us to be forward-thinking as it relates to the impact of emerging technologies on audit quality. So the ABCDs, or in the future, there may be additional alphabet on those emerging technologies on audit quality. With Chair Williams and my fellow board member support, we launched the Technology Innovation Alliance Working Group at the end of last year, so only a couple months ago, on which I'm privileged to serve as the chair. The concept for this working group stemmed from a desire to assemble a seasoned group of technical experts with hands-on knowledge of emerging technologies, combined with a deep understanding of the potential impact technologies have on the future of auditing. The overarching goal of this working group is to consider a holistic approach to emerging technologies and the associated impact on the PCOB. And I'm very excited about the work that this group is going to be doing to help us.
What kind of, what kind of time frame are we looking at with the work that that group is doing? Where are you in your studies of the issues, and what's next? What can we look for from that group coming forward?
Yeah, again, we just launched the group, and so we're at the beginning of planning and determining what our scope should be. And ultimately, our goal is to develop recommendations for the board to consider, either in standard setting or even in the inspection or other programs that PCOB had that emerging technologies have an impact. So for example, one example I've used before is if you look at our auditing standards today, they are very paper-based. Mm-hmm. And that won't be the case in another 5 to 10 years or beyond. And what we should be thinking about, for example, we have the word in our standard original. And what does original mean in a digital audit when we don't have paper? So that's a simple example that I have, been telling people about. That would be an example of what we would want to think about.
Yeah, and I think that there's certainly a lot of that type of thing to reconsider and reimagine when it comes to certainly audit and our profession in general. Given the pace with which these technologies are advancing, I mean, it's happening so fast, and it's getting harder and harder to kind of keep up. Certainly from a regulatory point of view, I would imagine.
Yes.
One of the other areas that you and I talked about, in addition to technology, is talent, and this is it's just top of mind with everybody, it seems like, in our profession. Not only our profession, really, but most professions these days are struggling with this idea of how to recruit and retain really top talented folks in what's becoming a more and more challenging environment. So I'm kind of curious, from your point of view, what's the connection between those talent challenges and audit quality? And how concerned is the PCAOB with that issue? Let's talk about that connection first of all.
Talent is the cornerstone to audit quality. Without well-trained talent, there is no audit quality. Mm-hmm. We need well-rounded auditors with critical thinking, problem-solving, and leadership skills. I'm particularly concerned about the pipeline issue, and the board is very concerned as well. And I have spoken about it previously. Just to give you some number, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we have approximately 50,000 unfilled accounting jobs in the U.S. And this is a global problem based on discussion the board has had with other foreign regulators that we've heard similar things. The pipeline issue is worse for CPA candidates with diverse backgrounds. So we're very concerned and we are looking for ways to think about how we can impact this area as a regulator.
And how what might that look like? I mean, there's so many folks, I mean, from the AICPA on down to state societies and some of the larger firms, everybody seems to be kind of diving in and trying to have their own impact positively on this pipeline challenge. What might it look like from the PCAOB's point of view?
Yeah, PCAOB currently has the Scholar Program, which is one way we provide tangible support for students pursuing an accounting degree. Since the program's inception in 2011, the PCAOB has awarded over $18 million in scholarships to over 1,800 recipients. Obviously, there is more to be done, and we need to think about what we could do to effectuate impactful changes. In addition, the board cares a great deal about the diversity of the profession. You might have heard our discussion at the most recent investor advisory group meeting about this very topic. I understand that firms are trying to recruit and advance more diverse talent, but you really can't change the representation at senior level without ongoing nurturing of that pipeline, starting at the beginning of one's career. It won't happen overnight, but we are monitoring it. I think just by us asking questions of the firms, and having a focus on it helps, but we would also welcome ideas on what we could do to make more meaningful impact. We can also think about ways to bring people together, for example, to talk about this issue. I understand, as you said, that AICPA and CAQ, they all are doing some, they have programs like that as well. So this is a common program. I think we could work together to try to, and with, organizations like you guys, the MACPA, to think about how we can make more meaningful impact.
I'm kind of curious, and I guess this is one of the, danger is the wrong word, but one of the things you have to expect when you come on as a guest with at a podcast called Future Proof, but we're constantly kind of like looking forward, right? And what do our members need to be paying attention now in order to remain relevant going forward? And so I'm kind of curious, as you think about the impact of new technologies and this talent issue and the impact that these issues are having on the profession right now, what might the audit function look like, a decade or so from now? I mean, what does the audit of the future look like in your mind, given the way things are changing in these areas?
Yes, that's a great question. And I don't have a crystal ball, but I love to, think about the future. Although today, especially the large firms have started making significant investment in technology, auditing today is still document-centric, and the auditing process is linear. So even in our standard, it assumes like a linear paper-based auditing process that starts with planning, risk assessment, internal controls assessment, substantive testing, reporting step by step. In the future, I expect the auditing will become more data-centric and digital. When I talk about document-centric, you might say, oh, now we have, we have everything on in the cloud, but these are still store and prepare as a document. You might have all kinds of PDF or Word or whatever, but those are data that's in a document. The future I expect to be data-centric, and which means that the process may not have to be linear. Mm-hmm. And a data-centric and digital audit could provide greater transparency and timely reporting. Again, you know, that's just me thinking out loud here, and that's my view.
It strikes me that, you know, and I think I've heard other people talk about it too, you know, that it might not be necessarily a function that's bound by time, or, you know, it's that time of the year. We've got to, you know, this is the time when we do, you know, do this thing that technology may enable and in some instances demand that it becomes a more timely type of function, in order to better serve investors and stakeholders.
Yes. So the current assurance model is pretty much, I know there's quarterly filing and things like that, but pretty much once a year, looking back, right? Mm-hmm. And I know in our today's environment, everything's happening so fast. Investors are expecting more timely information. They may rather have lower precision, mm-hmm. but more timely. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that we need to think about. But obviously, that's not something that we can just willy-nilly change. And that's the reason why I think as a regulator, we have to be forward thinking. Because if we don't do that, then, you know, things will just happen based on, you know, what the profession and the industry, the firms think makes sense, or the preparer and the investor's interest will not be represented. So I think it's very important for regulators to be forward thinking, and then we can set standards or best practice or guidance accordingly to kind of move the direction accordingly.
Mm-hmm. As a regulator, how challenging is it to do your job when technology is moving so fast? Is it a struggle to kind of keep up with the pace of change? And I mean, what does that look like from your seat?
Yeah, I think regulators, it's a balance. You can't be, you know, it has to be a thoughtful process for mm-hmm. sure, because standard setting is very important. And it's, I would say, a scientific process mm-hmm. because it affects so many stakeholders within that ecosystem. So it's very critical. It needs to be a deliberative and thoughtful process. But at the same time, it cannot be so slow that it becomes irrelevant, right. You know, by the time you're ready to move. So it's definitely a balance. And given the fact that standard setting, based on my own experience, I mentioned earlier about the Data Act, I had to set standards on all these spending data for over 100 federal agencies mm-hmm. who have all the different systems that don't really talk to each other. So when you think about setting that standard, how challenging it would be. But I always said standard is about the common good, because you're never going to have a standard that only meets one stakeholder's needs. Mm-hmm. And we have all the different stakeholders within the ecosystem for a purpose. And to set standard require people to work together to get to that common good, which will not be perfect good for a particular stakeholder. Mm-hmm. So it's challenging. It requires a lot of listening. It requires a lot of outreach and also So expertise in understanding how things work. So it's a challenge, but I think that this is the reason that we set up these, for example, the Technology Innovation Alliance Working Group, to bring really knowledgeable people together who are passionate about the issue and help us develop recommendations and help us to be more responsive and forward-thinking and timely.
That's great. From our members' point of view, you address some of the challenges that regulators have in keeping up with all this. Our members are struggling as well to kind of keep up with the pace of change, and it's getting more and more difficult to do. And so I'm kind of curious, from your point of view, what does this kind of conversation or these trends, does it change the way that CPAs ought to be thinking about their own skills and what they need to do to remain relevant going forward? I mean, what are your thoughts on reskilling or just things that our members might need to do to stay relevant?
Yes, absolutely. CPAs should be thinking about how to stay relevant. CPAs need to become a lot more technology savvy. It doesn't mean that CPAs need to know how to write codes, but we need to understand the technologies and the problem they can solve. CPAs are the context experts, meaning they understand the problems. If we also understand the potential solutions, that will allow CPAs to be more impactful in any roles. To me, that's the exciting part of our profession. If you only understand the technologies and don't know the problems, then the technologies would be merely hype. Mm-hmm. The value of accounting is that it provides a globally common framework to break down complex problems into understandable elements. If you understand the problems well and can identify potential solution technologies offer, then CPAs are making monumental differences in businesses and global societies.
That's some great advice and some great insights. Thank you for that. I'm curious, Christina, what, just in general, I mean, given how quickly things are changing, what does the future of this profession look like to you? I mean, when you think about accounting and finance and where it's going, what comes to mind, or what excites you about the future of the profession?
I think the future of our profession is very exciting. We live in a world with complex problems, and all problems have financial implications. As I mentioned earlier, CPAs have the expertise in breaking down complex problems into digestible information for decision making. No matter what purpose you're looking for in your career, being a CPA affords you unlimited options to be part of any cause or business you desire. So if you are, if your cause is climate, we all hear that, all the concern about ESG reporting. I listened to the AICPA conference a few months ago that from a variety of controller organization, that they actually are establishing specific role like ESG controller. If your passion is technology, And you can learn about a lot about the technology and the tie to, for example, because technology is intangible, evaluating that, the valuation of technology is very intangible. And if you want to learn more about crypto, there's opportunities for that. So the options are really unlimited, and that's why I mentioned earlier that I feel that my CPA really afforded me that opportunity to find my cause and my passion. So I'm excited for this profession, and I think that we need to continue to learn, and there will be plenty of opportunities for us to help solve a lot of the complex problems for the greater good.
Yeah, God willing. That's some great thoughts there and great insights all around. Christina Ho, thank you so much for joining me today, for taking the time. I know you're busy, and I certainly do appreciate your willingness to be here with us and sharing some of those insights with our members. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Terrific thoughts there from PCAOB member Christina Ho. And you can stay on top of everything the PCAOB is doing in these areas and others as well by visiting PCAOBUS.org. And don't forget, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you all become a little bit more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's at macpa.org/showcase. And that is it, gang. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. I can almost guarantee it. Take care.